Every time I sit on it, it just like slides over to one side. It's like awesome.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Wonder Woman, the new film by Warner Brothers Entertainment that surprisingly does not fuck up a DC superhero. Well done, ladies.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Gronk.
We are in the beautiful living room studios.
Yes, the Glover Living Room Studios.
Here Deepwood Mott.
Here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, which is appropriate for this episode. I'll explain why in a moment. Because we are, I don't know if it's because. But anyway, we are here to talk about Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Fighting for your rights in her satin tights. Although they were not satin, and that makes sense.
No, she wears tights.
She wasn't wearing tights,
She wasn't even wearing tights, but...
like whatever, her little Wonder Woman theme that
dun,
she
dun,
has.
Dun, 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 whatever it is. But I say it's appropriate because I actually saw Wonder Woman at the Eden Prairie AMC.
Oh, so did we.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a story about that, which I'll tell later.
Awesome.
But just a couple of observations about the movie. We are actually talking about it the week that it's coming out, which is unusual for us. Usually we allow a little time.
Yep.
But we're gonna spoil the shit.
So many spoilers, you guys. Just come back to it.
If you have not yet seen Wonder Woman, and I don't know how Molly and Nick feel, but I would definitely recommend it.
I recommend it,
It's the best DC movie made in 30 years.
Yeah, it's the best it's the best modern DC movie, which to me I would say is as good as the worst Marvel movie. That's how I felt about it.
So well, you'd rank it better than Dark Knight?
Yes.
Okay.
I would rank it better than Dark Knight. I thought, because it's funnier, and I like movies that make me laugh and are also entertaining.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, I like Batman best of all the DC pantheon of heroes because he's the only one who isn't a fucking god.
That's true.
So that, and god powers get boring, which I will expound on very, very at length later.
So anyway, we are going to spoil the shit out of this movie. So if you have a problem with having shit spoiled out of movies before you've seen them, you know, now's the time to tune out and come back later.
We'll see you later.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But for the rest of you, we are going to talk Wonder Woman right now. So
here we go.
I like the movie a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
I have some nitpicky complaints. My biggest nitpicky complaint was that Gal Gadot is actually shorter than Chris Pine, and I want Wonder Woman to be tall.
Yeah, so the height thing, they did a good job of making it seem like she was pretty imposing and tall and stuff. My Gal Gadot body complaint is that I was super behind the casting when they announced it, even though everyone else was like, a model, she's so thin, and it was like, oh no, you know, this is just so, she hasn't even started for the movie yet. But they did not get, she did not get muscular, they didn't like have her do that, and it's, that bums me out, because like, as a lady with muscles who has never really seen a sexy representation of herself as the lead without it being like comical, like Brienne of Tarth or something, I just would have been nice to see her have some actual leg muscles.
Well, it's because if your strength is from a magical source, there's never going to be enough resistance for you to develop muscle mass. So
the magic is doing the work for her, so her muscles aren't doing anything.
Yeah, the magic's doing the work for her, not her muscles.
Yeah, and she's not. It's not like she'd get fat because of that. So she's still perfectly skinny, because skinny is what we want everyone to be. That frustrated me a little. That was my nitpickiest problem.
My overall, like, if I had to sum up a review in a sentence, it'd be, Wonder Woman is a very enjoyable movie that gets gradually less good as more men are added.
You know, there's a certain point to that.
I don't know if that's causation or correlation, but
still,
every time they add a dude motivation or a dude plot point, I think the movie got one degree less good.
Yeah. Now, I think overall, I don't know if I would. it's definitely the best DC movie in recent memory. It's
that's not even a hard choice.
It's definitely a movie I would actually say manages to stack up against the MCU.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's about as good as Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Like, and those are both great movies. Like,
Iron Man 2. I would rank it better than Iron Man 2.
At the time when you came out, it was like, that was good. And then in hindsight, it was when you started to realize that it was pretty poor after they put out other stuff.
So, like, I have complaints about Wonder Woman, but I don't want to just, like, open up talking about Wonder Woman by, like, ranting about
shit that I don't want to rant about it too much, because I think most of the movie I thought was good.
The Themyscira stuff at the beginning was astonishingly great. I loved it. It was the best. Young Diana, teenage Diana, with Hippolyta, and I can't remember the name of the general.
It begins with an A.
The warrior.
Robin Wright.
That was great. All of that stuff was fantastic. Even the like the comical, you know, then the Krauts found their way into our little bubble somehow, even though no one's found it before ever. Somehow in World War I we managed to do that. But that was all right. And then Chris Pine stuff, the fish out of water stuff with Diana when she gets into New York City or wherever they are, like that was all really good.
I like Chris Pine's secretary character.
And Tia P.
Yeah, she was cool. She was all right.
Like, she wasn't in much of the movie, but I liked her.
It was very much like a gender bent Captain America with Chris Pine as Wonder Woman's Peggy Carter.
Yeah,
you know, and so that was nice. But like the problem is that the Nick said, once we got into the plot, as it were, the main plot with Ares and, I guess, that chemical weapon that was going to kill maybe like 1,000 people that we were super concerned about, that we had to like stop. That to me, I was just like, well, this is getting nowhere.
He's going to take out like all of London. Everything going to
take out
miles.
All of London.
He's kept saying thousands of people. That's all he said.
Everything within 50 miles is what they said.
All right.
So
I don't know. Thousands of people is hard stakes like sometimes when they just talked about how 10 million had died already.
It was going to take out millions.
He never said that. They literally never said that. They kept saying thousands. Thousands will die. Thousands. Because I remember thinking, like, what? That seems low.
Well, I mean, I don't know if London had a million people in it. Yeah, hundreds of thousands, certainly. But anyway, it would have completely decimated London.
All right.
I like that. I'm hesitant to, like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm accusing Wonder Woman of ripping off Captain America.
No.
But I do feel like they learned a lot of really good lessons from Captain America.
Yeah.
About how to do a person out of time, fish out of water stuff.
Yeah.
In an endearing and quirky way. And how to have a sidekick who's not incompetent, yet when they're stacked next to, someone who's superhuman or a straight up god. They're going to be, you know, the bumbling comic relief to some extent.
Not necessarily even bumbling, just kind of
Well, in comparison, you can't help but to look clumsy next to Wonder Woman. But also, you know, to some extent, the day was saved by a handsome blonde guy named Chris flying a German super weapon plane off in an act of self-sacrifice.
It's true. It's true.
Which is a little familiar.
Yeah.
It's true. That was a little familiar.
I thought there was a lot good with it, but I think the main problem I had, like the biggest problem I had that I feel like colored my opinion of the movie for a few days. It wasn't until, like, honestly, just, like, yesterday, the day before, that I was able to really be like, okay, actually, I really liked it. It wasn't as eye-rolling as I thought was. It was that, Diana, Wonder Woman, she's having this big god fight with Ares, and it's, you know, back and forth, and it's the typical DC overpowered smash-em-ups. And it's like, okay, Ares has lightning powers, alright, so he has lightning powers, okay, she catches the lightning, alright, but like, what really, it wasn't until Chris Pine's character dies that she, like, unleashes her true potential, so it was like, it felt like, because she had feels for a boy, like, that's when she was able to, like, really tap into her power.
Yeah. She couldn't do it without a man to motivate her.
It was the love of a man that unlocked her real, like, and that just, and I know that's not how they meant it, but it's, and I'm not super sensitive to that stuff.
Yeah.
But it really, like, felt that way. Because she literally was like, what? No! No! And then, like, with the, like, emotional power.
Of course, after that, she nearly Ares nearly turns her as well. Which,
yeah, I know, but...
anyway.
I know.
That whole Return of the Jedi scene was neat.
I
feel like the gods' power set is very unclear.
Yeah.
If you're a part of the Greek pantheon, you are... you get lightning powers, but also you're some sort of godly capacitor that can re-channel lightning, but also you can fly, but not all of you can fly, but whoever it's convenient for can fly.
Yeah.
Like, certainly can hover.
Yeah,
like Thor can't shoot laser beams out of his hands just because he's a god, right? Like,
yeah.
He's got limited powers as to what he can do, which makes it more interesting.
Or even... not even necessarily limits, but it's just like, if the gods can just do whatever they want, whenever they want,
I feel like
the audience, it's not very enjoyable to just be like, I don't know, it's kind of a convenient power set villain. What's the opposite of a Mary Sue, but for like villains? That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ares is like the weakest fucking part of the movie.
Isn't that to me is kind of... That's a problem with, like, even some Marvel... Like, the original Guardians of the Galaxy, the villain was kind of pointless, right?
Ronan the Accuser?
Ronan. Yeah, I thought Ronan was kind of like, oh, whatever, Ronan, you know. I mean...
Lee Pace!
He's there. You know, Thanos... Thanos, I'm sure he's going to be a badass, but right now, as How It Should Have Ended points out quite effectively, all he does is sit in a chair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think unless the villain is something super iconic, you know, the Joker. And I mean, the worst thing about Batman versus Superman was how much they fucked up Lex Luthor. And that's because Lex Luthor, if you do him right, is such a compelling villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a challenge in a lot of these movies where, you know, I don't read... Wonder Woman at all, so I don't know if Ares is a villain in Wonder Woman from way back.
Yeah, all that stuff with Themyscira, like, is the canon that I am aware of. Like, Ares they created the island to protect them from like stuff, right?
It's DC, so she has a couple of different origin stories, and a couple of different reboot versions, and a couple of different ways of doing it, and they touched on a few different parts here and there. Because
being created from clay is actually one of her origins.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though that turns out to be false, that is one of her origin stories.
In one of her origin stories, it also turns out to be false. Right. Or hasn't happened at all.
Right.
So they really struck a good place there. You know the ice cream part? Where she's trying ice cream and she's like, you should be very proud of your accomplishment to the ice cream guy.
Yeah.
That exact word-for-word scene has happened in three different Wonder Woman comics.
That's great.
Really?
See, and that's okay. So part of me is like, maybe I'm not super familiar with the source material. I didn't I didn't love the Wonder Woman TV show. I wasn't obsessed with Wonder Woman as a kid. That wasn't like, she wasn't my feminine, female, like hero icon at all. That said, the way everyone was talking about this movie before we went to see it, and I will admit, this is my own expectations getting maybe raised too high. People were talking about it like it was this, like for women, that it was this, like, oh my God, it's perfect, and, like, you really feel this, like, camaraderie, and, like, this, like, women can do anything kind of thing, and I never felt that, and not like I did with The Force Awakens. With The Force Awakens, like, so many times during that, and Star Wars wasn't a huge thing for me either, you guys know, but, like, the feels I had during that movie, the emotions I felt, the stirring in my chest and the tightness in my throat and the times that I cried and the way that I was just like, this is so important. Like, this is so important for women right now and for girls. I didn't get any of that with the Wonder Woman thing. And I think it's because so much of who she is in that movie after they leave the island was pitched as who she is to men and how men see her.
Yeah.
She's hot. She's a woman, so she can't be strong.
Yeah.
She's this. And yeah, she proves them all wrong with the strength, but like, that was her whole character, was how she's seen by these men. And that kind of frustrated me.
I understand the frustration, although I think the time frame in which they set it
Sure.
I don't know how it could have been any different.
There
you know,
could have been fewer men in the movie, and maybe it could have been about. What if maybe instead, like a female pilot washed up on the shore, and that's who she went and inspired, and she inspired a bunch of women to do more stuff, or any woman at all, maybe the secretary, anybody.
At
if she inspired a single woman in that movie to do something more, I would have been really happy.
At least
but
the
she
chemical
didn't.
Weapon. Specialist was a woman. That was something. But
yeah.
I mean,
cool.
She was a woman,
she
but all her creations were whispered into her ear by a man god.
Yeah. If Ares had been a woman, that would have been interesting.
Right?
I would have loved it if like,
right?
If the secretary had been Ares,
just
that would have been fucking
or
awesome.
The again, like if there had just been even like a little girl
but,
in the movie who sees her do something and is like, yeah, and is like, kind of like punching the air or something. Like,
as,
you know,
okay.
And I get that. A couple observations, and one thing, this is what Pat said when she went to the movie, that I think is super important, and several friends have said representation is important, and it really is. But what Pat said is, in the movie theater, she was like the only woman in the movie theater that wasn't wearing something that said Wonder Woman on it,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, clearly... Just the fact this movie exists
sure.
is a big deal
absolutely.
To a lot of people. Just the fact that it's
DC
got,
did a female lead before
DC did
Marvel
a female
did.
Lead before Marvel did, and the fact that it's doing well
in movies, yep.
The fact that it's doing well and that it's successful means, if this movie tanked,
mm-hmm.
and I mean I don't know how much is going to make this weekend, but I'm pretty sure it's going to do well.
Yeah,
if this movie tanked. The immediate response would have been, well, look, see, I told you, we can't do a superhero with a woman that's centered on a woman because it just doesn't work. Now, the fact that it didn't tank doesn't mean they're going to suddenly say, oh, clearly superhero movies with women work because they're dumb. But
right.
At least it doesn't mean they'll use that as an excuse.
Yeah. It's not like Batman, See, Batman vs. Superman was a financial success, so it's hard to say, like, oh, it was a shitty male-starring superhero movie, therefore we're not going to make any more male superhero movies, because it made money, despite the fact that it was a bad movie. But Wonder Woman is a good movie that hopefully makes a lot of money, and hopefully is a sign of things to come, and kind of sets the example that... Something that we already know that women movies can make money.
I think the biggest challenge that Wonder Woman has, and that it didn't entirely overcome because of like your critiques, Molly, is it was carrying a tremendous amount of baggage because it was the first big superhero movie about a woman.
Yeah, and it's awesome that it was directed by a woman. 100% awesome. It's awesome just even in concept. And so even if it had been a terrible movie, that I would have still been glad that it existed because it was directed by a woman and it's, you know, and everything. But, and I really liked that I liked the accent they did.
Mm-hmm.
Did they just do an Israeli accent or did they do something different? Because I know Gal Gadot is Israeli and I didn't know if it was like, did they just mimic her accent for everybody or did they?
I don't know.
Yeah. It was interesting.
I know that. So there's some political baggage with that, with her.
Oh,
with
all the Fox News people are saying that, like, Wonder Woman wasn't American enough?
No.
The fact that she is, according to some, and this is always colored by individual opinions, a Zionist.
The actual actress, Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
She's for taking land away from people in the name of Israel. And forcing them out and stuff. And that's a complicated issue that we don't need to get into.
You should give them an island with a bubble around it to keep them safe.
See, so the solution is there.
So, speaking of an island with a bubble, I mean, we said that the Themyscira stuff, that's the best part of the movie is... the Amazon action stuff
bonkers. The three arrows at once and shit like that. The way
she'll jump over the rock and turn around.
I love that the Germans show up and they've got guns and you're like, oh my god, the Amazons are fucked. And a couple of Amazons get killed.
A lot of them.
But they still fuck up the Germans.
I don't want to have like a whole lot of complaints about Gal Gadot's body. But all the other Amazons
were super buff.
Like, did you look at, like, Hippolyta?
Yeah.
Like, she had scars, deep keloid scars all over her arms and body.
The general was like, that's the thing, that's why I was so bummed, is because it was like, they had muscle. They looked like they could, if they ran, they could run fast.
Like
you can't run fast with no thigh muscles.
That, like, corded, like, tough, older muscle that looks just like... They'd seen some shit, and they've been through some shit, and they've been training. And, I mean, what, Diana's a god and all that, but, like, maybe she took a scratch here and there and all that training. Maybe she, I don't know.
Well, can she not be cut? Because, like, because I was trying to figure out if she's bulletproof, because they were raining machine gun fire down on her, and there's no way she was blocking it all with her bracelets or the shield during parts. It seemed like... You'd think that she would have gotten grazed by some bullet or something, right? That shrapnel or something would have cut her, and she never bled. She was never cut. She was never scratched. So I was wondering if maybe they were trying to insinuate that, like, not Luke Cage bulletproof, but, like, maybe she can't really be... She's not easily cut or hurt?
Well...
Did they stab her or anything?
She's got some sort of... Because in the Themyscira stuff... Wasn't she injured in battle?
She is. And they pull off the bloody bandage and it's already healed.
And it's already healed.
But she never gets cut again. Like, literally, they're showing 6 machine guns aiming at her with belt-fed
guns.
She's
swatting away mortar and none of the explosion is hurting her and stuff like that.
It was a little much.
I'm not saying, like, I want a movie where she's getting hurt. I'm not going to, like, take joy from that. But at the same time, like... This is the problem with telling a good Superman story.
Yeah.
When your protagonist is an invincible super god who can punch anything to death.
Burn holes and things.
You need to be smarter about the obstacles you put in front of them and the story you're telling and how they grow. Because invincible things punching each other to death will never be super entertaining for me to watch.
And then even
like with Luke Cage, which we haven't talked about yet, but we will soon in another episode. Instances where they had Luke like storming into a place bulletproof and fucking shit up. They did those scenes in a way where like the No Man's Land scene with Diana. That was a good example, I felt like. Even though the No Man's Land stuff was so heavy-handed that I literally expected her to turn to the camera and say, "I am no man," it was still super badass.
See, and that's the scene I'm talking about that I felt was not super believable because of how much mortar and munitions and weaponry and bullets were being fired at her at once. And, like, again, not even dirty.
I don't know.
I feel like you've got to establish that Wonder Woman, that, you know, she can take out the German line.
I was totally up for that. I didn't feel it was unbelievable she did it. I felt it was unbelievable she did it without getting even dirty or scratched. That's to me, again, it felt like... So many times in this movie, I felt like, as a woman, I felt like I was getting a little pandered to. And that was one of them. Like, she can do all this, and she's just perfect afterward. Like, she doesn't get dirty, her hair is perfect. She never looked rough.
I was going to say, one thing that impressed me, and all of that is true, and one thing that I noticed was her hands, which were not perfect. If you ever saw close-ups of her hands, they until the end when she's, like, in the Louvre, you know, and she's got like... nail polish and everything, but I mean her hands, her knuckles actually look dirty.
Okay, all right. And I did not notice
It was a minor thing, but I was just like, every time they showed her hands, it's like, oh, she looks like she's got the hands of somebody who fights.
Okay, I never noticed that. So that's
But I mean, kind of what Molly's saying though, like a part that I agree or that supports that is, if she's shrapnel proof and bulletproof and all that. Why is she bothering with
the bracelets?
The feminium bracelets. Why does she need to block bullets except for to look cool if she's basically invincible?
And if she's not invincible, why didn't she get scratched? I don't know. It's just a little. It's again nitpicky. All of my issues, honestly, all of my problems. I just want to say I don't want anyone to think I'm discouraging you from seeing this movie or that I didn't like it. I really liked it. I really did. I had a great time. And except that I felt it was a little too long and I got bored at the end because I don't like overpowered Smash Mouth.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
We
weren't, like, Amy said the same thing, Amy Stomberg. She was like, I thought it was over, and then it was, like, another half hour with that big Ares fight and stuff, and it felt like it was, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Ares fight is problematic in that, I mean, it's essentially, what's the Ares fight about? It's showing us Wonder Woman's motivation. Why is Wonder Woman choosing to be a hero?
Which we've known, she's been saying this whole time, you know, Ares,
yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, discovering that Ares isn't the one who makes people this way, people are just this way.
Yeah, yeah.
And having to accept that you want to be the protector and defender of the human race, in spite of the fact that they don't always deserve to be protected and defended, mm-hmm. which interestingly enough is a theme that comes from The Dark Knight, from the conclusion of Dark Knight with Batman, you know, kind of saying, well, they don't necessarily always deserve Batman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I might be wrong. Maybe it wasn't Amy. Sorry, I'm apologizing,
but,
Amy, if I just misquoted you.
Yeah,
but
fuck you, Amy.
Sorry. Someone also mentioned with that too that it was like, wouldn't it have been cooler if Ares didn't exist? Or like her same motivation.
Yeah.
Motivation would stand, but then like we wouldn't have had that big weird fight.
Yeah,
because
the big problem with it was not that, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
It was that, as you mentioned, Nick, that is the tendency of the DC
mm-hmm.
fights to be this big epic thing, which is something that I think the MCU does better.
Yeah, because when they have big epic fights, either someone is limited in the way that they can attack somebody, or they have a team and everyone has a special thing that they're doing and they're working together.
Yeah. So the kids actually like watched Civil War this weekend. And I was watching the epic battle, which is the end, that epic battle between Iron Man and Cap.
Yeah, yeah.
After he finds out
Cap knew that Bucky killed his family.
And the way that fight goes, it is so much more personal and so much more painful than the fight at the end of Wonder Woman. And it's, I think, not a shortcoming of the way the film was made and not a shortcoming of the way they opted to write this story. I think it's a little bit a shortcoming of the way DC characters work.
Yeah, I would also say, and also the way they're marketing these movies, because as I pointed out to Nick, I knew Ares wasn't going to win, and I knew Wonder Woman wasn't going to get turned, and I knew it was going to end up this way because we saw a Justice League trailer before Wonder Woman, and it had Wonder Woman in it, and like, she's a part of the team, and so, and also you know from the flashback, I guess, but this, I mean, it's just, you knew there was not going to really be stakes.
Speaking of the Justice League trailer, I have one very specific rant about the Justice League trailer that I really need to voice.
All right. Have a platform.
So, in the Justice League trailer, when Batman is approaching all the different heroes to build his little team, he introduces himself to Barry Allen by being in Barry Allen's basement when he comes home and then throwing a batarang at him, essentially introducing himself to Barry Allen while exposing his secret identity in the very same breath.
Right? Yeah.
This is something Batman would never do. He doesn't know Barry Allen. He doesn't trust Barry Allen. He hasn't worked with Barry Allen. Batman has dossiers on how to take down the rest of the Justice League because either he doesn't trust them or just in case.
Well, because he knows that mind control happens all the fucking time.
And magic is a legit threat.
And it's like, how do I take down Superman if he's mind controlled by something?
And so, I feel like it's another in a series of incredibly out of character moments that I feel like break some of the enjoyment for me.
And
just like, what's your superpower again? I'm rich. No. What's your superpower again? I'm Batman. That's the right punchline to that joke. What's your superpower? I'm the goddamn Batman.
And to be fair, I think Wonder Woman actually got Wonder Woman basically right.
Yeah.
And that is tough because Wonder Woman is a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say that I appreciated about the Justice League trailer, there's not even a suggestion that Superman's going to show up, even though you know he will. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that they didn't feel the need in this trailer, and they probably will by the time the movie comes out. They will probably feel the need to telegraph the fact that Superman's going to show up. But at least in this trailer, Superman is nowhere to be seen. And there's not even the implication. There's not even like a little blink, like two frame blink of a hint that Superman's coming back.
Yeah.
So your other critiques are 100%. I agree with. So we got to get to five questions.
Five questions. Say,
before we get to five questions, I have to throw a little fuck you at AMC because here's what happened to us yesterday.
Yeah.
We had bought our tickets for the 11:30 showing a month ago. We were like...
AM or PM? AM?
AM.
Yeah.
We were going to go with friends, or their friends Tirza and Adam. Adam, friend of the show and Patreon supporter. And our friend Nan. And we bought tickets, and apparently, after we bought the tickets about a week later, they determined they were going to renovate the theater in which we purchased tickets.
Yes, they are renovating those theaters.
So, mm-hmm. but what they
guessing
did...
Guessing you were going to Rosedale AMC?
They're doing that there, too. But the thing is... They determined they were going to renovate that theater that we had bought tickets for. And what they did was theoretically refunded everybody their money, but didn't send emails.
Oh.
So what they didn't do is just go, oh, well, we're going to swap it with another theater. Let's move all these tickets over.
Right.
So we show up
or at the theater. Or even, you got your money back, go buy other tickets, you don't have
tickets. Yeah, they didn't send us a message.
Yeah, yeah.
So we show up at the theater, and we don't have tickets.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, oh, you should have been told. And we're like... No, we weren't told. And it shouldn't have been a surprise to them. And the reason I say that was because we weren't the first people there are complaining about it.
Oh.
And they acted like it was a surprise?
Nor did we end up being the last. And when Pat talked to people at the concession stand, they were like, oh, yeah, this happened last night, too. So it's like, they knew.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So we ended up in the front row.
Yeah.
Which for an action movie, I think
that
is
sucks.
Absolutely
that sucks
awful.
Really
it was
bad.
So hard to track the
movie.
Devin was with us. Alex had to work, and Devin really complained about getting a headache.
Oh yeah, I can't sit in the front row. If I buy a ticket and we walk into the theater and that's all that's left, I'll turn around and be like, nope, we're getting our money back.
These are reserved seats, and this is all they have.
Oh,
and they were like, well, you can go see the. We'll give you tickets for the IMAX showing at 12:30, but Pat had it in the afternoon delivery. And anyway, the point was, we can only go to that movie.
Yeah,
that was the only we could go.
You play an air on a movie, you know?
And it's just like, this is a big fuck you to AMC. Number one, it's fuck you to the... Because it wasn't the theater's fault. Because it was the AMC National Online thing that fucked it up. Because what should have... But, I mean, the theater should have been like, well, we need to shift all these people over to a different theater. Don't refund their money. Just... They bought their fucking ticket.
Yeah,
we bought it a month ahead of time because we wanted to see the fucking movie.
That sucks.
But, I mean, so... But that's still AMC Online is specifically for not sending any kind of message.
Yeah.
And clearly, it was across the board because there were 15 people that were having this problem.
My biggest complaint about AMC is I wish their recliner seats had a lock button for the... If I have anything in my pocket, when I shift or move around, it'll like hit the button on the recliner and my seat will be like... Bah, 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 bah.
Because the button's inside. It's
Instead of being like out on the arm.
That would be seems like a big design problem.
I just
want a button to lock it in place once I hit the setting right. But
hey,
so
guess
my other fuck you, by the way, is to the theater itself because... They knew it was a problem, and they had not come up with a solution.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, so they're like, well, we can switch you to another thing or give you front row seats. And Pat was like, well, you're also going to give us free tickets for another showing, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I can do that. It's like, how is that not the first thing you fucking offered?
You saw that the Eden Prairie AMC's bar has the best theater bar name ever.
It does. It's called McGuffins. I love that.
Yeah.
It's the best.
So... But overall, I'm good, and not just because I was in the front row, but because I think representation is important, because I'm glad it's a good movie, because for all these nitpicks, I really like the movie, and
agreed.
I'm going to go see it again, because I don't want to watch it from the front row. I want to be able to watch the whole fucking movie, and not just the middle third, you know, that's kind of blurred past me every time there's an action sequence. Because I'm like, the action sequence looked really well shot, but from this perspective, I can't fucking tell.
Totally.
So anyway.
So I've got a few names to announce for our...
We have a bunch of new Patreon
subscribers. So we've got David Schuler, which might be pronounced Skyler or Schuler, I don't know, but David Schuler, thank you, David. Yeah. Joshua Humphrey.
Joshua! Hey.
Thanks, Joshua.
Congratulations on finishing law school, Joshua.
Congratulations on having a damn fine mustache.
Yes. Yes. We've got Ray Rudas Yankee.
Ray Rudas, who works for the awesome, and I do mean awesome, Postal Service.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Ray. And then Michael Madzek.
Michael Madzek, who does not work for the Postal Service, and therefore sucks.
Or at least he might. We don't know.
Michael, if
you don't
you
know
work
what
for
he
the
does.
Postal Service, then congratulations.
So thank you to you guys.
If you don't, you're the worst.
You can go to patreon.com/geeks.god to support us if you want to have your name announced. We'll say your name however you want. Just let us know. And also, I'm about to read some 5 questions. This is actually the first 5 questions from a non-Patreon subscriber at this point, or supporter. So if you do send in your 5 answers and you are a Patreon person, can you just let me know in your little intro there? Because I'm worried that there might be some people on this list that are, but I haven't checked against the list. So if you think that I have not read your answers yet in vain, let me
know.
We'll
bump your ass to the top of the queue.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
But we have 5 answers from Heather Alicia Taylor.
Thank you, Heather.
Greetings. I've been listening to you for the last year and a half or so, and I love the show. I even got my husband into listening.
Oh, thanks, Heather's husband. Yeah, question number one. We're on the new questions. Thank you, Nick. Which conspiracy theory do you find most interesting?
The conspiracy theory that irritates me most is the ancient alien hypothesis. I refuse to call it a theory based on the fact that it has no scientific consensus in its veracity. As an archaeological technician, I hear about how archaeologists are covering up information about aliens almost as much as I get asked about dinosaurs. Archaeologists get confused for paleontologists all the time. Apparently, these people have never seen an archaeologist geek out over new information. Yeah, why would they cover it up?
Yeah,
if an archaeologist found information about aliens, you'd think they'd be like, nah.
They'd be like, oh my god, you guys, check this shit out.
There'd be fist fights about who gets to write the paper.
I know.
Like, yeah.
That
to me is the biggest... The biggest problem with the ancient alien conspiracy theories is, don't you understand?
Yeah, follow the money, Tim.
if archaeologists found this information, they would be like screaming from the hills.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
Question two, what's your perfect 2-week vacation? Money's no object, but
my perfect 2-week vacation is exploring the ins and outs of a local area. I hate sticking around resorts because they're often noisy and expensive. If I'm going to go somewhere, I want to visit the monuments and local treasures that only the locals know about.
Well,
makes
that's
sense for an archaeologist.
Yeah, that's
more of an anthropologist, but
I agree. I mean, I think, yeah, I love if you're in a place, I want to get out and see.
Oh, yeah.
What makes that place special?
Totally.
So, what's question number three? A movie or book that changed your life?
The book that changed my life.
It's always a book. This question's been ruined for me.
I knew we should have just kept that movie.
We could just change it, whatever.
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine.
The book that changed my life was The Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan.
This book
helped make me a skeptic, put me on the path to atheism, and caused me to seriously consider going back to school, which I did 2 years later.
Hey.
Well done, Carl.
E-school.
That's awesome.
Big old Geeks About God clap for Carl Sagan.
Question number four, what's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
I do the geekiest thing I've ever done every Sunday. I play 2 D&D campaigns back to back. I literally drive straight from my 3.5 game to my second edition game, which consists of a 5-minute gap between campaigns.
Damn.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's Sunday right now. Heather's doing that right now.
Heather,
she's probably D&Ding right now.
I just want to thank you. That is a great answer, and I really appreciate you did not tell us about your characters.
Back 20.
and next up, final question. Question number 5. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Believe it or not, I've only ever had one hangover, and it was a walking hangover. I actually hate the feeling of being drunk. It messes with my visual field and makes light brighter, so being drunk gives me monster headaches. I do love the taste of alcohol, though, and have been known to nurse a single drink for a couple of hours to enjoy drinking without actually getting drunk.
So,
thanks for producing an awesome podcast. Please keep recording it. Heather Taylor.
Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's fantastic. Thank you, Heather. So we are pretty much done. We're going to remind you that you can always rate us on iTunes. We're looking for some additional ratings on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Nick's been posting free comic book codes every Friday.
I think what I did is I took all our comics that we had duplicate codes on, and I set up timed posts on Facebook to put up comic book codes every Friday through at least August.
Yeah.
I think they might even go into September. So keep an eye out for them on Fridays.
If you want to get something back from Geeks Without God, besides, of course, our brilliant commentary on shit, then that's a way to get something back from Geeks Without God. Thank you, as always, for listening. We are excited. I am excited about Wonder Woman.
Nitpicking aside. Yes, go see it.
Yeah.
If you listen to this for some reason and you haven't seen it, go see it. It's great. And if nothing else, support it with your dollars.
I told my mom, she's like, I don't know if I should go see this movie or not. I'm like, Mom, I'll tell you what. I don't give a shit whether you go see it or not. Buy a ticket. It's important.
Yeah, buy an opening weekend ticket.
Just do it. Again, if you can't go see it and you can afford to support it simply by buying a ticket, please do that. So all the nitpicking that we've done, and I feel most of our nitpicking has more to do with the challenges posed by DC characters than it is.
I feel like anything that might have been a problem with the story or a problem with the overall plot, I'm not like a super movies person, but it really felt like a studio problem rather than like a director, character, or story problem.
So,
like, you know, they got to aim for that widest audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Wonder Woman, 3 thumbs up, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, bye.
I don't know about anybody else, but I really want to see Wonder Woman and Captain America get into a shield off.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Pardon me, Triscuit.